Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey now.
Hey now.
And welcome back to the show where two childhood friends discuss their favourite childhood movies. I'm Emily Sandford.
And I'm Barney Lee. And whether it's iconic lines, musical moments, or just questionable outfit choices, the films we'll be talking about on our show are unique in their own way. And this week, we will be discussing Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Warning, this episode contains nostalgia and big love for dance mats.
You and me, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Hey! Oh, I always used to get like the lowest score on dance mat.
Well, that's the annoying thing. Sometimes you had to like stomp your foot really hard in order for it to be like recognized by the censors. But then, of course, your mum comes in. She's like, stop stomping! So good.
So this film came out in 2004.
That's right. It was sandwiched in between Lindsay Lohan's two incredible movies, Freaky Friday and Mean Girls.
She had a great year.
She had a great year.
She earned so much money that year. Do you know what I found out recently? Lindsay Lohan's net worth is £800,000.
What? That's it?
That's what it said on the internet.
£800,000. I mean... Don't get me wrong, I would love £800,000, but that's not a lot Hollywood standards.
No, Emma Stone is like 30 million. So mad. But this film did make $33 million.
Pretty good.
Worldwide box office.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
That's a success, right? So. Yeah, I mean, I think as long as it makes back the money that went into it, then I think fine.
Exactly. So the film is directed by Sarah Sugarman. She's Welsh.
Yeah, weird choice, but... I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of good things that have come out of Wales. Yeah. Tom Jones, for example.
Tom Jones? Was that supposed to be a Welsh
Tom
accent?
Tom Jones. I know, I was just trying to do a Tom Jones. Oh. Sex bomb. We're really trying to fill the minutes here. So the film is based on the book by Diane Sheldon.
Yeah, originally from Brooklyn, but then lives in London. And it was a number one New York Times bestseller.
All right.
So no wonder they adapted it into a screenplay.
Yeah, it was worth it. Gail Parent is the screenplay writer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, it stars Lindsay Lohan, who is an aspiring teenage actress whose family moves from the bright lights of New York City to New Jersey. Wah, wah. I've never been to New Jersey, but I just know that people really look down on it. And I want to know why.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
I have no idea. But I understand, like, moving from New York to the suburbs must be quite hard. Wherever you've been brought up in the world, moving to a new city is difficult because you're like, ugh, the other place is the only place you know.
Yeah. And especially, like, New York, it's got everything. You can get, like, a slice of pizza at 3 a.m. You can see a homeless man peeing in the subway. It's got everything you ever want.
Exactly. I mean...
We also have Adam Garcia playing her favorite rock musician, Glenn Headley playing her mother, and Alison Pill as her best friend. The film also introduced Megan Fox in her theatrical film acting debut.
Wow, and this was actually her first and only Disney movie.
Interesting. I thought she played that Ice Queen perfectly.
She did. She did a really good job, but she really isn't Disney, is she? She's no Hilary Duff, Miley Cyrus type character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She really kind of came up as the hot girl, basically, in Transformers. Oh, and speaking of Hilary Duff, the role of Lola was originally offered to Hilary. And I feel like it would have been a completely different film.
Yeah, I feel like Hilary would have done a really good job, actually.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, she backed out of the film and Lindsay was cast as Lola. And it's really interesting because Lindsay and Hilary had this big rivalry. So I wonder if that kind of played a part in it as well.
Potentially.
So we mentioned before, Lindsay Lohan plays the lead character, Lola Stirp. Just a few months after taking this role, Lindsay gained national recognition for her portrayal of Katie Heron in Mean Girls. After that, she kind of fell into issues with the media, paparazzi. She had legal troubles, you know, stays in rehab, but she's, you know, pulled herself up. She's returned to the spotlight in Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, which followed her foray into Greek nightclub ownership, which is kind of iconic.
Yeah, we need to go there.
Yeah, once we can travel again.
We want to do a Rhodes trip and we'll go to Mykonos.
Yes.
And I make that sound like me and Barney are two real like jet setters. We'll go to Rhodes and then we'll go to Mykonos.
It's on the way home.
Yeah, we have to go to Lindsay's Beach Club.
Absolutely. I'll tell them to put the vodka on ice.
Perfect.
The film also stars Alison Pill as Ella Gerard. That is Lola's kind of dry best friend.
Yeah, she's a bit of a plain Jane.
So a few years later, Alison earned a Tony Award. Oh, nomination.
Oh, no, don't rub it in.
Alison, I'm sorry.
She didn't even get to go to the Sid Arthur concert. Like, she's already upset about that. Don't make her upset about the fact she didn't actually win a Tony.
Oh, sorry. She won an amazing nomination for her performance in The Lieutenant of Inishmore.
Okay.
She has since appeared in films like Scott Pilgrim versus the World and TV shows like American Horror Story and Snowpiercer as well. So doing pretty well.
Yeah, nice one, Ella. Oh, Alison.
Enjoy your Tony.
Where'd you keep your Tony? In the downstairs bathroom? No, I didn't win one.
Oh my God. Why are we making fun of her? We haven't even been nominated for a Tony. And also, why wouldn't we?
Well.
Oh dear.
Well, the closest we're getting to a Tony is if Kellogg's does an award. Frosties.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks.
Did you want to tell me about Sam?
Sam, yes. So Sam was played by a guy called Eli Marienthal. And I knew of Eli because he played Tucker in the show Tucker. Funnily enough, I think it was a Nickelodeon show. My sister had the biggest crush on him.
Uh-huh.
He also played Stifler's younger brother in the American Pie films.
Okay.
But since this, he kind of took a hiatus from acting. I think he had a cameo appearance in The Big Bang Theory in 2009. But since then, he's kind of just been doing his own thing. He went to uni. He got his MA in international development. And he co-founded an organization called WILD, which basically means he's a tree hugger. Great.
Great. Isn't like grounding like a really big thing at the moment?
Mm-hmm. I think.
Apparently they say like if you're feeling stressed, you need to walk barefoot.
I like that.
Yeah. And whenever you go to a new country, you should take off your shoes and walk outside barefoot.
Mm.
If you watch the Zac Efron documentary, he tells you to do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was watching for very different reasons.
Some watch it for sustainability and like looking after the planet. Barney watches it for Zac Efron's abs.
Fat dick. Oh.
Oh. And fat dick. Anyway, do you want to tell me about Carol Kane?
Carol Kane. Living legend Carol Kane. She plays Miss Bagoli, the incredible drama teacher.
Miss Bagoli. Got quite a cute little voice, doesn't she?
She's like a little bit wavery
and a little bit squeaky too. So we know her best for being in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, she plays Lillian, who is Kimmy's landlord, and she has some incredible, incredible one-liners in that. From 2005 to 2014, Carol appeared on Broadway in the musical Wicked.
Okay.
And I didn't look it up, but I imagine if she was playing any character, it would be Miss Morrible. Plot twist, she's horrible. Good one, writers.
Yeah.
But she's amazing. She's kind of just like an institution of like Broadway and Hollywood. So yeah, I was so happy to see her in this film.
Definitely. I love when we were like, oh my gosh.
It's her.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Megan Fox?
Yes. So Megan Fox plays Carla. She is the mean girl.
Yeah.
In the school. So since this film, she's had quite the transformation. You see where I'm going. She went on to star in the blockbuster film Transformers.
Uh-huh.
She is currently married to a guy called Brian Austin Green, and they have three children together.
Cute.
Very cute. She was like the poster girl for the year 2000.
Yeah, exactly. Where we had Zac Efron, guys had Megan Fox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So some amazing actors playing brilliant characters. Shall we maybe move on to best supporting character?
I think before we go into the next scene, we gotta do some breathing exercises.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
I really wasn't expecting that from you.
Okay, so now we're going to go on to best supporting character.
And the cast for this is quite small, so we really had to dig deep into who could be considered for best supporting character.
Yeah, definitely. I think we could start with the lead singer of Siddhartha.
Stu Wolf. Basically, Harry Styles before Harry Styles existed.
You know when people are like, oh, that's like a Harry Styles original kind of look? Or, oh, Cara Delevingne, she started those eyebrows. No, Helga from Hey Arnold did. And it's exactly the same thing in this situation.
Everything originates from something else.
Something else. And yeah. I think Harry Styles originated from Stu Wolf.
Stu Wolf. He is a very snazzy dresser. He's also blessed with a bum chin. Love a bum chin.
His olive skin, nice, like, dark, wavy hair.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he's a drunk for most of the film, but he turns it around at the end.
Yeah, he seems like quite a nice guy. I would share a hamburger and onion ring platter with him.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, sorry, I ordered that. Like, get your own. This guy is Australian, actually.
Oh, really?
And I might be outing myself as a Doctor Who nerd, but he was in the Christmas episode in 2005. And I was like, oh my God, mind blown, it's him. Oh no, we've just lost all our subscribers.
Like, I think you should get in the TARDIS, go back in time, and not say that in the podcast.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
It's not my fault, I was young and naive and in love with Billy Piper.
Okay, so I think we should talk about the other, like, hottie in this film, which is Sam.
Oh, Sam. Lola's
heartthrob
friend who turns into more than friends.
Yeah, he's so cute. Like, he managed to steal Eliza's dress.
Yeah, love a bad boy.
Love a bad boy with good intentions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great with cars.
He plays guitars. He fixes cars. And he can sing.
Something you pointed out was his boot is at the front of his car.
Yeah. So he was like, check the trunk or whatever. He was successful in stealing the dress. It's at the front of his car. Where's the engine?
Yeah. Well, this is something I thought when I watched Crazy Rich Asians, because Awkwafina has this supercar and she has all her outfits like in the front of the trunk.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, fine. What kind of struck me as odd is that if Sam is supposed to be Lola's love interest in the film, he's literally on screen for maybe 5 minutes in the entire film.
Yeah, I wonder how much he got paid to be in this film, because he doesn't have a lot of scenes, which I think is a shame.
Maybe he was paid in that one kiss that he has with Lindsay at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I think fine.
I mean, that's not going to pay his mortgage, but
fine.
He's 15.
Yeah. I also want to give a little nod to Lola's dad's dog in the film.
Oh.
Negus.
Yes, the old English sheepdog.
Yes. He is the one that kind of pretty much gets Stu Wolf interested in Lola and her family. And I don't know if you spotted, but there's this one scene in the after party where Negus is lying down. And his paws are, like, moving with the beat of the music.
He's the real drama queen in this film.
Yeah, I mean, that dog is amazing. Is it the same dog that is in... Remember that old kids show with the spotty plane?
And no, you're thinking of... I don't know if you have this in America or anywhere else. That's not England. You're thinking of Aunt Mabel.
Aunt Mabel.
And Pippin.
Is that not the same dog?
No, Pippin's, like, smaller... And like brown.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because she would be like, oh, I'm out of toothpaste. All right, better fly in my plane to the toothpaste factory.
No.
Mabel, the shop's down the road. Support local.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure in the dog celeb world, Negus and Pippin are friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Having a threesome with Lassie or something. Doggy threesome.
Anyway.
Anyway, right, okay, let's talk about our best supporting character.
Yes. Our best supporting character is Miss Spagoli.
I mean, could it be anyone else?
Oh, she is so cute. No one quite has like that kind of rolled perm like her.
Like her. That is so true. She is dedicated to the school. She wants to put on the best performance. She can clearly write contemporary pop songs and choreography.
Yeah.
Like, what? Where did that come from? And she leads a purely digital orchestra. Remember when just before they're about to start, she's like, press your bars, children. And everyone presses their space bar on their laptops to begin the music. Iconic!
What a rich school. Like, my school could only dream of having MacBooks.
Yeah. Insane. So yeah, that school was popping. Maybe we can talk about that more and can we discuss, because I have some questions about the school.
Yeah, she's very welcoming of Lola when she arrives, you know.
Yeah, Lola's like, please don't call me Mary, like I want to be Lola. And then she's like, Lola, oh yeah, like that's you, and like I love that name. Very sweet.
Yeah, and she didn't mock her outfit.
Also, she didn't hold a grudge when Lola accidentally sprays her in the face with hairspray. Literally, hairspray, like, inches from Miss Bagoli's eyes. And then all that Miss Bagoli says is, I'm so glad to see you.
And it's like, but you can't
you
see
can't
her.
See.
There is Elvive in your eye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So let's move on to most iconic outfit, and this film is known for its fashions.
Oh, yes, it is. Lola really dresses for her mood. You know, one day she's Gandhi, the next day she's in funeral attire, the following day she's wearing sunglasses inside and like an old widow scarf.
Yes. She has it all. I'm surprised that she has the wardrobe space, and I'm very, very envious.
One of the first looks we're kind of served in the film is when she arrives in New Jersey. And they step out of the car. You know that scene where it's like the big orange sofa is on top of the car and the twins walk out,
yeah.
And Lola just looks really disappointed that she's arrived.
She's like, there's grass everywhere. Like, yeah, it's called a lawn.
Welcome to the suburbs. And she's wearing that I Love New York t-shirt and like a black fishnet long sleeve over the top.
Yes.
What are our thoughts on this?
Well, here's my thought. I don't think anyone from New York would be seen dead in an I Heart New York t-shirt.
No. In 2004, one of my friends went to New York and brought me back a t-shirt. And I was like, if you're going to get any souvenir from New York, it's an I Heart New York t-shirt. And there's probably many people to this day who sleep in an I Heart New York t-shirt.
My form teacher at school once brought back like 20 I Heart New York t-shirts for the netball team that she coached, except she got stopped at security and they confiscated the whole lot from her because they thought, oh, she's gonna like sell them when she gets back to the UK. She's like, no, it's for my netball team. And they took them anyway. How pissed would you be? Like, that wouldn't have been cheap. Like, that was sad.
That is so sad. And like, all the security staff, like, wearing them over.
Yeah.
Like, was they eating their bagels and coffee? That's what security guards do in New York, right?
Absolutely. That's part of their uniform.
Yeah. Donuts and...
coffee.
Coffee. Another iconic look which we get from Lola is when she's doing the dance mat in the mall and she's like bedazzled a NYX outfit. So she's got like the cat bag to front and like her orange vest top with NYX written on in sequins.
It's a lot. She's just wearing this for a casual day in the mall. And you forgot to mention she has a black funeral band on her arm that has a whole like cutout collage of Siddhartha pictures on her. She's obviously still mourning the loss of her favorite band, which I thought was an intense fashion moment. But look, she's dedicated. Good on her.
Yeah, good on her. Speaking of her mourning, it is actually really funny when her and Ella are at school and they are like grieving over the fact that Siddhartha have broken up.
Yeah.
And Lola's wearing the dark black funeral outfit. Looks a little bit kind of like Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah. You know? Like a bit like Cheryl, Fight for This Love, like military
vibes.
Yeah.
You know, like it's got like the gold weaving and like the buttons and stuff like that.
You can tell where our like pop culture references differ. You're like Beatles, iconic, Sergeant Pepper. I'm like, Cheryl Cole. How do you think you feel when you call my name?
Well, she can be Cheryl Cole's new biggest fan because Siddhartha have broken up.
Isn't she wearing like a black veil as well?
Yeah.
And she's got those three balloons as an accessory that are supposed to fly off and symbolize like her letting go of her favorite band. But of course, we find out the balloons aren't filled with helium, so they just fall immediately to the floor.
Oh, that was to be expected.
We should also quickly shout out some of the other amazing outfits she sports at school. She wears a kind of, I can only describe it as like a Victorian ghost costume when she's auditioning for the musical.
Yes.
Kind of got that black antique choker.
That's very Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Iconic.
That's where your mind always goes to.
Definitely.
She's also got that like vertical striped waistcoat and like that gypsy skirt. Like, I'm sorry, granny called. She wants her doily back.
I know. What the heck? It's very drama school teacher.
Yes. You're... maybe she was sucking up to Miss Bagoli.
Lola, I want my outfit back. Thank God the costume designers at the school pick out some other stuff for her, you know, in the actual Eliza Rock's performance, because she gets to wear that really cool, like, flared jumpsuit, which is like hot pink with the yellow and the orange and the red, looking like there's like fire off on her legs.
Yeah, and she's got like colors in her hair as well. And we need to acknowledge her backing dancers, who are wearing head to toe metallic silver and these kind of like blue troll doll wigs.
Oh my gosh, it looks like an army of Milhouse.
Oh my god, I would love an army of Milhouse.
Hi, Bart.
And the other outfits she wears in the play are incredible. She's got that kind of like schoolgirl outfit, but it's like totally form-fitting and like very cool of its time. Even the outfit that her character in the play wears at the grocery store. Cute little like pastel yellow waistcoat, her hair's out, she's got the white trousers and like the platform sneakers.
Yeah, and who could forget her red sequin dress, which she steals for her trip to the Siddhartha concert.
Yeah, that looked amazing, and she kind of had the whole feather boa gown moment to go with it. She looked great.
She looked amazing.
She's not the only one who looked good in this film. I did want to shout out Ella's outfit that she changes into at the Siddhartha after party. So if you remember, they've been walking blocks to try and find the venue. They are soaked from the rain. Stu invites them in eventually and is like, you know, go to my room, pick out anything you want to change into. Ella settles for these thigh-high Converse boots with laces all the way up to the top. First of all, the time she takes to lace those up, she comes downstairs, it's like Sunday. Everyone's gone. She made some choices in this film, and this was definitely a choice.
Yeah, I think because she's never made any choices on her outfits before, because her snooty parents choose her clothes for her. So
yeah, she's like, I'm just going to wear everything. Okay, yeah, metallic Baker Boy hat, snake print t-shirt, denim skirt. Yeah, this all sounds great.
It's just really funny that Stu has got a denim skirt and thigh-high Converse in his wardrobe. Having said that, I do feel like Harry Styles would also have that in his walk-in wardrobe.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I wonder if he would have anything similar to Carla's wardrobe, because we get to see her and her posse in some incredible Burberry items.
I think it's fine to have like a Burberry scarf, a Burberry coat.
Yeah.
But when you've got a Burberry jacket, a Burberry skirt, a Burberry trilby,
Burberry boots, and the Burberry bag.
Oh,
it's too much.
It's too much check.
It's like her mum said, oh, what are you going to wear? The hat, the bag, the shirt, or the boots? And she was like, yes.
But the most iconic outfit has to be Lola's first day outfit.
You mean the boho chic, well, actually, boho shit outfit. What was she thinking?
Imagine moving to a new city, going to a new school, and on your first day, you turn up as a fortune teller. Like, you can reinvent yourself to however you want to be, but you choose
that
gypsy chic.
Yeah, I mean, she's wearing kind of like sateen champagne flared trousers, that sheer billowing shirt, and a do-rag.
A don't-rag.
You're not wrong. Oh, and we can't forget the iconic bottle cap necklace that she, for some reason, insists on wearing.
Every single day. I was actually thinking, where did she get this from? And then I remembered, Rhonda! From Cinderella Story. Rhonda, you sure have the knack of taking something simple and making it beautiful. It's a bottle cap.
It's old bottle caps, which probably haven't even been washed.
Having said that, I just feel like Rhonda's company has clearly taken off and like has made it to New York.
It's doing really well in New Jersey.
Yeah.
How funny. I thought the exact same thing. I thought, oh, good, Rhonda's doing well.
Yeah, I'm so glad Rhonda's doing well, because she was my favourite character in that film.
And if you haven't already, check out our review of A Cinderella Story from season one of Hey Now, Hey Now. It's not one to be missed.
It's a very appealing episode.
Okay, let's talk about best musical moment. And Emily, you need to confess what happened just before we started recording.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, we need to find out the soundtrack here. And I was like skim reading and I was like, huh? Stevie Wonder and David Bowie wrote songs on this film? And I got really, like, confused. Like, why would they write a song for Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, apart from the fact it's a bit iconic. And then I realised, oh no, they did covers of Stevie Wonder and David Bowie songs in this film. So Living for the City and Changes. 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 I mean, yeah. Where does that bit feature in again?
So that part is in the montage of the musical. And I actually know that song from the Shrek 2 soundtrack. Whoops.
You own that?
That's another confession. I love Shrek 2, okay? Yes, more than Shrek 1.
We've said this in another episode. We will discuss Shrek at some point.
We have to. We have to. Just so I can sing Changes again. But yeah, this song appears in the scene in the musical when Eliza is learning to become a proper lady. She's in like etiquette class. And then there's like that reprise of it at the end as she's walking down the steps. It's very emotional. So well done, music supervisor, for including that song.
Yeah. And I'm sure David Bowie's so happy.
Oh, completely.
That it's in this film.
Yeah. He would have got a lot of money for that.
Oh, that's true.
There's also some good contemporary songs in this movie. We hear a cover of Ladies' Night by Atomic Kitten at the after party.
So Atomic Kitten were actually doing really well in the noughties when it comes to films, because again, in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Did they have any original songs?
I don't know.
Because didn't they also cover Eternal Flame, which isn't theirs?
Yes, they did.
Like, write your own songs, Liz.
Yeah, speak to Tasha and sort it out. But yeah, Atomic Kitten featuring Kool and the Gang.
That was a pretty cool song at the time.
Ladies Night. So, I mean, when I think of really A-list celebrity parties, the song that's on the speakers to me isn't really Atomic Kitten, especially not a Stu Wolf party. It was like walking into that house party was like walking into a fluorescent drug den.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of where I am when Ladies Night is playing, I imagine me and the other like 9-year-olds drinking Schlur, pretending it's wine, and like in bed at a sleepover at like 10:30, like, woo, late night, midnight feast. And then you eat it at 10:30. And you wake up the next day like,
never made it to midnight.
There's also that song that appears at different points throughout the film called Never Leave You by Lumidy, which you would recognize as the song that's like,
Yeah.
And they just play it in like 3 or 4 different scenes. Like, where's the budget? It probably all went on that one David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Just churn it. Yeah, to put that song on again. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, music supervisor's like, oh yeah, we don't have enough budget. Like, where's the money gone? Their response is,
True story.
Yeah.
True story. I think we should talk about Lindsay's singing in this film.
Yes. She's really good at singing.
So good. I mean, she starts in her audition scene, she's singing that song, Don't Move On. Don't move on. And she even gets a bit confident towards the end. She's like, don't move on. Like, all right, okay, rein it in. Also, how does Miss Bergoli know the song on the piano? Like, obviously, this is a Siddhartha song. Like, halfway through, Miss Bergoli's like, just knows it fluently on the piano. And at some point, like, you hear some electric guitars. Who's playing that? Where's that come from? She's got one of those keyboard guitars.
Yes, that's what it was.
I'm sure she has that.
Definitely.
And on that note, I think we need to award Best Musical Moment to Lindsay for her amazing rendition of Drama Queen, parentheses, That Girl, close parentheses, in the musical Eliza Rocks. It is such a banger, and I've been singing it ever since we finished watching the film. I sing it in the shower. I hear it in my dreams.
That girl is a drama queen. Any song in the noughties, like the chorus would always have that kind of intonation. Queen. It's no dancing queen, but it's close.
Yeah, you're not wrong. This song is available on Spotify, you'll be very pleased to know, and there is an accompanying music video, so make sure to check those out. She has such good choreography. Obviously, we mentioned the outfit that she's wearing. 10 out of 10 for me.
Barney and I have got a friend called Eliza, and I remember when we were younger, she used to be obsessed with this film because, understandably, it says Eliza rocks at the back of the stage.
Yeah, I wonder, what is that school going to do with that sign when the show's finished? Like, I think this performance was like a one night only thing. Like, they just blew like 20 grand on that. Like, what? Oh my gosh, I have an idea. As she's walking down the aisle next year, why don't we cut the music and start playing this? Would she love it or destroy us?
It might kill the theme of the classy wedding. But like, come 2 a.m. when everyone's a bit tipsy, that could be a really cool like party moment.
Yeah, should I pack the blue wigs just in case we want to like slip into something a bit more like...
Yeah, throw them to the groomsmen. I'll get in touch with her fiancé.
I hope she's not listening.
It's a resounding no. So now we're going to do best quotes. I think we should start with a very iconic one, which is... So yeah, there's the scene where Carla is telling Lola that she shouldn't be friends with Ella. And she says, also, I wouldn't hang out with Ella, never had a fella. Look at her. She dresses like a politician's wife with the hair and the shoes. She's so random. And what about those glasses? They are so 10 minutes ago. But I'm going to stop myself before I get nasty.
You know that line, they are so 10 minutes ago. That is such a trope of 2000s movies.
Yes.
I feel like everyone says that. Like, oh, what? So you're encouraging fast fashion? Wow, Carla, I thought better of you.
Yeah, exactly. Not in 2021. Sustainable, baby.
Carla also has really cutting remarks when she sees Ella and Lola in the mall. And she's like, wow, look who's here. I'd stay and chat, but I don't want to stay and chat. And they just walk off with their Nordstrom bags.
Amazing. Do you know what? You know when you're like walking in the street and then you see in the distance someone walking towards you who you haven't seen in like 5 years?
Mm.
There's that awkward feeling like, I've got to say like, oh, it'd be great to see you sometime or go for a drink sometime. That would just be a really good response. Look, I'd love to stay in chat, but I don't want to stay in chat.
Absolutely fine.
I might bring that into my everyday lexicon.
Yeah. You should start the trend. Speaking of dramatic, when Lola's dad calls Lola on the phone and says, look, I'll take you to the concert if you want. And Lola's like, hi, dad. Thanks for the invitation, but I couldn't go with my father. I'd die of shame. Calm down. He's being very polite and nice.
He is being very polite and nice. You sometimes die of shame of your father, who I love.
Yeah, but like in a kind of like... oh, dad, you're terrible. And then kind of like a wink.
I love you.
Like,
yeah.
You're funny. But everyone went through that phase when they were younger of being so embarrassed of their mum and dad. Like, you're shopping with your mum and you saw some kids your age who didn't have an adult supervising them. You're like, oh my God, I hope they don't see me.
Oh,
I think we've all been there. But now, like, everyone kind of like comes round. There's the full circle when the child is accepting.
Oh, definitely. 100%. I mean, my dad puts on the music, dances, is like happy for me to film him for Instagram story, you know?
Of course.
He puts on a show.
He's going to go viral.
Exactly.
I love your dad.
Oh.
So funny.
We should award best quote to Lola when she's doing her performance of Eliza.
Oh my God. Whoever wrote the script. Oh, well, it must have been Miss Bagoli, right? Ah, give her a Tony. Sorry, Alison. Lola's character, Eliza, is working in the grocery store. And she's like, I've got to get in character for this. Yo, you got no rights to work. Nope. I got too excited.
Take two of the audition.
Wow. Yo, you got no rights to write down what I'm saying. Those are my poisonal words.
Poisonal?
Poisonal words.
Why does she say poisonal?
I don't. It's like a New York thing, right?
I'm kind of obsessed with the New York accent. And I really hope that people walk out of the houses in the morning and are like, yo, Manhattan, what's up? You got a pretzel? Where can I buy a pretzel? We don't like stereotyping on this podcast, but... when it comes to accents.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you're a regular.
In New York?
In the Big Apple.
Oh, I'm there all the time.
Hey, peeing guy in the subway, where's my bagel?
Where's my bagel? We were supposed to meet at Macy's 10 minutes ago.
Why is he meeting a homeless man in Macy's?
That's the only department store I know.
Oh my God.
Okay, so now we're going on to our favourite part of the podcast, which is can we discuss? Can we start off with the cool bike tricks which are in this film? And by cool, I mean not cool.
Yeah, it's not even a plot point. You just see Lola and Ella cycling through like the rich part of town, and there's that shot where Lola, like, literally she pops her feet up on the handlebars for, I mean, what, it's not more than a second, right?
It's like, who's that impressing?
Truly.
Like, Sam is not walking past you on the pavement.
And Stu Wolf is not watching you from a suburban house.
I do remember when we were younger, though, it would be that thing that if you were cycling and, like, you saw a cool guy that you liked, you'd just, like, drop one hand from the handlebar. And just, because it would never make you look, like, cool.
I'm going to alert the cycling proficiency people and have them revoke that certificate.
I got silver in cycling proficiency. Where's my gold? It's not that hard.
Oh, gold is if you put both feet up on the handlebars for more than 1 second.
Having said that, I do like a cool bike, and her orange bike was, you know, it has like the high handlebars. And
I always wanted a chopper bike. I thought they were really, really cool. So here's what I wanted to discuss. Lola is like Siddhartha's biggest fan. She's got Stu Wolf's poster. It's not even a poster, it's like a billboard in her room.
Yeah, it's like a Siddhartha wallpaper.
Yeah, which she like kisses every night. She's like their biggest fan. Yet she has never been to a live show before. How is she calling herself a super fan? I don't get it. Also, why did she just assume tickets would still be available like days after their final ever show was announced? They rock up to the mall expecting to buy tickets from a shop, which, side note, weird concept, buying concert tickets from a shop. Like, Ticketmaster was around at this time. I don't know what was going on. And they're so shocked that it sold out. I'm like, yeah, no shit, it's their last ever show.
Yeah, like, imagine like Drake saying, I'm never going to perform again. And then tickets would just sell out in 1 minute.
Yeah. There's that scene that gave me so much anxiety when Lola and Ella are trying to get into the gig without a ticket. And it got me thinking, like, have you ever been backstage at a show before?
When I was 7, I went to the Hearsay concert. I don't know, how far did Hearsay get? Were they worldwide? I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But huge in the UK.
Huge in the UK. And yeah, I met Hearsay backstage. I met Miley in class. She's lovely. And this was another thing I vividly remember saying was, oh my God, I saw you on the Generation Game yesterday, because it was a Sunday. And that show went out on a Saturday. And she was like, oh, we recorded that on Thursday. And I was like, because I had no idea what a pre-record is. Yeah. Like, obviously, I'm so little. I'm like, I thought everything on TV was live. So yeah. I was just like,
What a weird thing for her to respond with. Surely she'd be like, she's talking to a 7-year-old. She'd be like, oh, did you like it?
Yeah, like, I think she said, you know, I think she said stuff like that too. But that's the part I remember. Have you ever met anyone?
Yeah, well, yes. Because I feel like when I was like a bit younger in my teens, I was like really into like going to gigs and whatever. And I feel like I've been quite fortunate to meet a lot of people that I've looked up to. Like, remember I won that competition to meet Kim Kardashian in like 2012 or something.
Who I can't believe is like 5'2", by the way.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, she was sitting down the whole time I met her, so like I don't think I really like...
I had no idea she was so short.
Yeah, she's tiny. Because she always wanted to be a model, but everyone was like, oh, you're too short, sorry. So she was like, okay, instead I'll become a billionaire. Literally, she's a billionaire now.
Yeah.
Fine.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, there's this one specific time me and my housemate Rosie had tickets to see this band called The Drums playing in London. And we were kind of at that age where it was like socially acceptable to queue outside the venue hours and hours early so that we could get a good place to stand at the front. And a few hours before the show, like maybe like a crowd of 20 other people emerged, and we realized it's because they had all won tickets to go into soundcheck. And obviously we didn't have tickets for soundcheck, so we were just kind of standing there in the queue. And I noticed that the guy checking people off the list, after he'd cross them off on the clipboard, he would draw a black X on their hand in a Sharpie so that they could show security as they walk in, like they've been checked off the list. And me in the queue, I was like, oh my God, there's a Sharpie in my bag. So I said, okay, Rosie, give, like really like quietly, I was like, Rosie, give me a hand quick. So I drew a black cross on her hand, black cross on my hand. And when they finally started letting people into the venue, we just held up our crosses and they let us in. And we were like, oh my God.
Oh.
So we got to go and watch the band do their sound check, and they came down after, chatted to everyone, signed our CDs. It was amazing.
That is amazing.
Just one of those times where you're like, okay, it's now or never. Like, just go for it.
Oh my gosh, that is so sneaky and an amazing story. I would have been like Ella in that situation, like, I got to get in trouble.
Squished against the glass, like,
Yeah, no. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson. Over here? Jeez.
Call me Fat Barney. Oh.
So have you ever been in like a lead role?
Oh, like Eliza in Eliza Rocks. Mm-hmm. I loved drama when I was at school, but I don't think I was very good at acting. Usually I had like the side parts. But one summer my school was doing like a like 2-week drama program, and I got to be the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. Which was a big moment for me. They gave me a megaphone so that, you know, before you find out that he's just like an old man, I could just like have my back to the audience and do this like booming voice. That was a moment.
Amazing.
What about you?
In year two, we did a Christmas production of The Little Christmas Tree. And I was The Little Christmas Tree. And it was amazing. I remember the audition. Like, we just had to stand and do a line. And the head teacher was like, we have found our Christmas tree. It was like, I really went for the performance, you know? Kids, when you're so confident when you're young. And anyway, so I had to wear like 7 green tutus, like to look like the Christmas tree.
Cute.
And I had to borrow all of my head teacher's like jewelry. She had loads of like costume jewelry and stuff.
Yeah.
Diamonds and not real diamonds, but you know, like all of these kind of stuff, which she like put around my neck and everything. Yeah. And then I had to borrow her clip-on earrings, and they were so heavy. I was like, oh.
Oh, stretchy. What even is the plot of The Little Christmas Tree?
It's like during the night the Christmas tree becomes alive.
And does what?
And like dances.
Oh, cute.
It was very cute.
Year two plays are the best. We did Aesop's Fables, and we were the grasshoppers and the ants or something. And the only thing I remember is that I had to wear tight to be a grasshopper. And I was like, oh, tight. Perhaps I'm gay now. No, that was not what went through my head. But that's the only thing I remember. Sorry, Aesop.
Oh.
I love your soaps.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and one last thing I wanted to discuss. Ella and Lola have that transformative scene when they are on the train to New York, and they literally, from head to toe, they have a transformation. They do their hair, their makeup, their outfit.
Oh, that scene kind of gives me anxiety because they're like barefoot in a public train toilet. Oh,
hideous. And at one point, you see her legs in the air, so obviously she's lying on the toilet floor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hellish. So obviously that takes a sign. I feel like they like curl their hair as well.
I thought that the train journey was like 4 hours.
Yeah. I looked it up from New Jersey to Manhattan. 18 minutes.
What
the hell? I don't, maybe they got on the wrong train and that's why it took so long. But honestly, I don't think I've ever seen two girls get ready in 18 minutes.
Oh, it just, that has never happened in the history of the earth.
Okay, here we go. The trivia round.
Where's Miss Bacoli to grade us? She's not here. That's where she's not.
She's dead.
Okay. So Lola can't believe that she can get to school for free.
Mm.
How much did it usually cost her to get to school in New York?
In New York, it cost her $1.50, which is like 2 pizza slices.
Yes.
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
$1.50.
Yes, $1.50.
Which still seems really cheap.
Yeah.
So, Great.
Great.
More money to spend on horrid clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, speaking of, here's a question for you. What novelty hat does Lola wear when she's going through her wardrobe?
A flamingo hat.
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
Why is that in there?
There's a lot of flamingos in this film, because at the end, Megan falls in that flamingo fountain.
That's right.
Okay, my question to you. Lola says that Carla Santini thinks she's an American actress. Can you tell me what actress Carla thinks she is?
Well, it's probably not Megan Fox. Cameron Diaz?
So you're just going to give up?
Julia Roberts.
Oh, I do remember that. Okay, so in the after party scene, Lola's having some one-on-one time with Stu, and she is like, tell me, what was the inspiration behind your lyric, behind some doors, people are waiting to blank. What's that last line?
Sparkle?
Yes!
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
Yeah, that's it. Because she also sings it in her audition scene as well.
Ah.
I thought was a nice touch.
Stu's is like, no. It's like at school when in English lit, when the teacher's like, okay, we're all going to read this poem. Why do you think that the widow had black curtains? And she's expecting us to write like, because she had a dark soul. And it's like, no, she just wanted black curtains.
That is so true. They made us read into literally every syllable.
Yeah. Now I wonder why I'm an overthinker. Thanks, Miss Ashford.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, my question to you. According to Miss Bagoli, what is sacred?
Theatre?
So you're just going to give up?
Costumes. Oh. Costumes are sacred.
Oh, yeah, when she's holding the broken heel.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, she's not wrong. Those 7 tutus you wore were sacred.
Oh, they were sacred. And scratchy.
Okay, here's one. What did Lola compliment Sam on when he was under his car fixing it? And spoiler alert, they did not deserve a compliment.
I've got no idea.
So you're just gonna give up?
It was his horrible black cowboy boots.
Oh.
She was like, nice boots. Neither, no. Why are you lying? Oh, well, she is a compulsive liar in this film.
She is. Oh, yes. She's a compulsive liar, and she also owns a cowboy hat as well. She wears in one scene.
Yeah, she's just jealous of the boots. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when they're in the diner with Stu, what do they order?
They order coffees, but Stu wants a hamburger deluxe platter and a side of onion rings.
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
You get the bonus point for that. But yes, they do order 3 coffees.
Oh, sorry. You can tell I was really hungry when we were watching this.
Yeah, I could really go for lunch right now. Okay.
All right, here's one for you. Can you remember the name of the female police officer who books them?
Oh.
Because Stu signs an autograph for her.
I want to call her like Officer Julie or something.
You're right with officer. Think flower.
Officer Rose?
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
Yes!
Oh, Officer Rose. She did not get to go to the after party.
I didn't see her there, no.
No. And that actually goes on to my next question to you. What was the reason they ended up in the police office? Stu throws something at the policeman.
He throws a donut at them.
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
Yes, he does.
They love their donuts.
Police officers in New York love donuts.
I love donuts.
Same.
It's always donut time. Okay, the final question. Which hotel were Ella's parents staying at in New York?
The Hilton.
Life can be so randomly beautiful.
Yes!
Yes!
Well done.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please feel free to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow on Spotify and wherever else you listen to your podcast. Also, we do have an Instagram account as well, Hey Now, Hey Now, where you can follow us for updates on the podcast. And also, you can get some nice, like, nostalgia pics.
Yeah, we do love a good meme, don't we?
We do.
So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.
You rock.